With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
World champions!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
James goes inside the flush and the foul.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Laker Nation, when it's safe, I look forward to celebrating with you.
Go, Heat, go, Heat, go, Heat.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The Finals MVP is LeBron James.
Laker Nation want their respect, and I want my damn respect, too.
Today's guests, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, plus Carolina Panthers head coach, Matt Rhule. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, folks, welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show right here on Peacock, Sirius XM, and Channel 211 right there on the Dan Patrick dial every single day. We're thrilled to be on after Dan as well on Peacock. The Mightier 1090 is the hub of the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network. We say good morning to our friends here in Southern California and across the country that are listening to us and seeing us again on Peacock. Good to see my man Chris Brockman across the way.
What's up, brother?
Mike Del Tufo.
Good to see you, Rich.
Good to see you, gents. TJ Jefferson, Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster, is settling into his seat. Or he's just in hiding because the Lakers won. And his Clipperdom being tested, particularly to make sure that everything's okay with him. Want to make sure that everything's all right with him, as well as being a Dallas Cowboy fan. A lot has gone down over this weekend. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers winning the championship of the world in the NBA. As I told you last week, LeBron and all the grief that he received in trying to put together a championship team here in Los Angeles to his liking, with Anthony Davis requesting a trade in New Orleans after he signed with LeBron's sports agent, with Clutch Sports, with his the agency that represents him and a whole bunch of other players, including KCP and Rob Pelinka, the general manager of the Lakers, putting together a team that included Anthony Davis and trading a whole bunch of players away. And then that trade, and before that trade happened, got blown up in New Orleans. All of that nonsense that led to a dumpster fire of a first season in which he got hurt. And then the Lakers missed the playoffs for the first time in a very long time for this team to make the playoffs. Finally, they had not made it in quite some time. LeBron was supposed to end that streak. He didn't in his first year here. As I told you last week, when I thought that they were going to win Game 5, which they did not. And the crazy thing is, here we are celebrating LeBron and the championship Los Angeles Lakers today. And this is how crazy things go in the sports world and how things change so quickly. Friday night, LeBron James was being lit up by many in the Twitterverse and the many in the social mediaverse, and some here in Los Angeles even, for not doing what Kobe did and what Michael Jordan did, forgetting that he passed to Kerr and Paxson for a couple of championships, that he passed up the big shot to Danny Green, who for some reason got death threats sent to him and his fiance because he missed a wide open shot. Let's not forget that was Friday all the way up until yesterday, quarter, when despite Goran Dragic trying to drag his injured foot onto the court, the Lakers essentially ended everything in the second quarter last night. And now we are rightfully talking about LeBron's greatness and nobody at all thinking about how this team got put together anymore, with the exception, I imagine, of LeBron, who took it all in, heard what everybody was saying, and how he got Anthony Davis to Los Angeles. And his response, I'm sure, is deep down. I don't care what you think, but I think he does care what people think.
Well,
and we
I
heard
think
it
so
last
too,
night, where he wanted his, if you will, damn respect, so on and so forth. So I say the following. LeBron's greatness, if it needed to be at all cemented, I don't know how this doesn't get cemented now. He did it in Miami when it's the super team, and then he goes back to Cleveland, and they cobbled together enough players, including Kyrie and Kevin Love, for him to get that one shot, come back from 3-1 down against the Golden State Warriors. Then he comes to Los Angeles. It was an awful first season, and everything gets straightened out in a manner that they could only have dreamed of, minus the pandemic part, obviously. And kudos to the NBA.
Big time.
They did it. Zero COVID positive tests. Zero. Point zero in the playoffs. Zero. None of them. The bubble stayed hardened, and everybody got what they needed, at least in this country, at least for me. I know everybody's bashing on the ratings because of how politically correct, supposedly, the NBA is being. And to that, I say two things. One, you're not a basketball fan. And two, obviously I'm biased, talking here on Peacock, there's streamers. There's different ways to actually view the games.
Yeah.
Okay?
I would also say there's only a handful of people bashing on the ratings.
So, long story short, is the NBA got it done. We, as a country, needed it. The NBA got the country focused properly on treating the virus with the seriousness that it deserved in a manner that the federal government didn't when they shut down the NBA and then bubbled up. And the NHL did it, but the NBA came up with their bubble-up plan, enhanced it, and got it done. The Larry O'Brien Trophy was handed out last night. The Lakers put their hands on it. And they're bringing it back here to Los Angeles, where so many Lakers fans are thrilled and delighted about it, obviously because they are used to it, and secondly, it's been a while, and thirdly, it's in the year in which 2020 got off to its dreadful start. With the death of Kobe Bryant and his beautiful daughter, Gianna. And the fact that they were able to do it in the name of Kobe, unfortunately for them, Friday night would have been the night to do it in the Mamba jerseys, but Jimmy Butler had another idea, and I tip the cap to the Heat. The Nuggets were a delight to watch. What a run that they went on. The Blazers in the regular season portion of the bubble got us all going, and the Heat have a huge future ahead of them. And just real quick, one more time, don't even touch the team. Don't even twitch in Giannis's direction if I'm the Heat. I really love what they have put together. And maybe we'll touch upon that over today or tomorrow because there's a lot going on. The 106-93 victory by the Lakers last night, not even remotely as close as would indicate.
Not even close.
And LeBron becomes the first and only player to win three finals MVPs with three different teams. So, congratulations to the Lakers. And again, to the NBA. I mean,
what they were able to accomplish over the last few months, just remarkable.
Lakers and Heat were there for 90 days. And I can only imagine that were members of the NBA's front office staff that were there for longer. And that had to drive the people there absolutely, totally crazy nuts. Go home, enjoy time with your families and whoever your loved ones are that you've been away from, and be safe. Because you're not in the bubble anymore on that front. Okay. The NFL now. Yesterday's games, totally wild. The Seahawks cannot play a normal game.
Nope.
They are the most entertaining team in the NFL. Their quarterback is remarkable. Every play is alive when he snaps it. Every play is still alive after he seems to be surrounded. Every play is still alive as he runs for his life. And then every play is alive when DK Metcalf is catching it, even when he's running it into the end zone, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, when a ball got knocked out and he lost it. And then last night when it seemed like he corralled the game winner and it got knocked away. And the Vikings and the Seahawks were just dynamite. I feel for the Vikings fans. It looks like that they are finally beginning to put it together offensively, and then Dalvin Cook gets hurt. He came in after what appeared to be some sort of left quad or groin injury is what it looks like. An MRI today. We'll keep an eye on that, certainly since he's a fantasy darling for so many fantasy players out there. Alexander Mattison, who, by the way, was a great founding father of this country. he comes in. He runs for 100 yards. Cook comes in for one more play. He's a decoy on an interception by K.J. Wright that was the unreal. Capper of a run that the Seahawks went on. It looked like that they couldn't do anything last night against the Vikings defense that was coming together. They come back, and then somehow Cousins, I thought he played with the exception of those mistakes in that 90-second span where the Seahawks put together a remarkable run. Wow. I thought Cousins played his best game of the year. I know there's no fans in Seattle, but that is still not a tough place to an easy place to go in. And I know Seattle's defense has been bending and breaking a lot, but I give Cousins his due. Certainly when he's picked off and it looks like it's going south. So all I'm saying is that was an incredible game last night. And Seattle comes up with the win of the weekend. I know there's other ones, but Seattle comes up with a dynamite W last night.
Especially after the first half where they looked dreadful.
And they are an undefeated team with the MVP quarterback and a wide receiver who's becoming an ascendant star. And by the way, I thought Minnesota and Mike Zimmer made the right decision.
You do? Last night.
Absolutely. You gain one more inch of a yard and the game is over. And you've been running the ball down their throat. You got a guy who came off the bench who's got 100 yards rushing. And your defense has been playing lights out. It's pouring rain. Let them go 94 yards. All you got to do is gain one inch of a yard and that's the end of that.
By the way, and they had them on a fourth down play. DK Metcalf makes it an incredible catch.
Honestly, so there's many different 20-20 hindsights look at it, but you get one more inch, you win. If you don't, they're backed up. It's been a quarter since that monster run that I just referred to, that huge burst of points over 90 seconds. I thought Minnesota made the absolute right maneuver. The absolute right maneuver. But unfortunately, they're 1-4. It is Seattle that is 5-0. And you now have the Green Bay Packers coming off of a bye week. They're 4-0. Those are your only remaining undefeated teams in the NFC that coming into the season, many people rightfully had them. I didn't like the back end of their defense, as you know. But many people had the Dallas Cowboys as the top seed in the NFC and the representative of the NFC in the Super Bowl. Their 1-3 start made me think that this defense was absolutely what I thought it was, to use a Dennis Green phrase. They are who I thought they were. And nobody was coming to help. Earl Thomas is not coming to help. They just needed to get a more front-end pressure and get it done and turn this season around. That is now not even close to their toughest issue. It's amazing how things work in the NFL, folks, about how things quickly can change, about how one snap of a football can change a team's trajectory and, of course, a player's livelihood. And Dak Prescott deserves better from the football gods. Dak Prescott, who had been putting together almost, 2,000 yards passing in the first quarter of a season. He was the reason why the Cowboys were even 1-3. He was one of the reasons why this team even had hope for the future because of the way the defense had been playing, even though they had been 1-3. That and the fact that the rest of the division is such an absolute abomination that 1-3 was still only a half game behind first place. And yes, because it is an abomination, the Cowboys are still, right now as we're sitting here, their first place team. And I don't know who is going to surpass them looking at the rest of the landscape, even with Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback. now that Dak Prescott has broken his ankle and it has been surgically repaired and he's already on the mend. But to see him carted off in tears with his right leg in an emergency wrap, okay?
Devastating.
Seeing him driven off the field is one of the saddest images you can conjure up in one of the saddest years that we've had in a long time. It's just another 2020, are you effing kidding me moment. Are you kidding me? So wrong. So not right. And I send my best to him. His recovery apparently is already on track. He's had surgery. He's out of surgery. They're calling it a minor problem to a major setback right now. That he's coming out of surgery and he's gonna be back 4 to 6 months. He's done for the year. And again, Andy Dalton, this is why the Cowboys went and got him, is just in case this happened. Because as we know, Dak took over for Romo 1 year, and that was such a major shock to have somebody that young perform so well that Romo became a broadcaster within a calendar year. So rare. But we were looking at an Instagram of his brother, photograph of him with Dak smiling from a hospital bed. He deserves better. And I just want to say this on this front. If anybody out there feels the same way I do about Dak, but wouldn't have felt the same way about Dak if he had told Jerry Jones, I am not coming unless you give me a long-term contract. If you would have thought, he's just not really a team player, he's not really, he's a being about himself. Please, to use the Michael Irvin phrase that he said back in the day, Google it if you want to know the circumstances around it, don't lose that intensity. I want you to use the same intensity Michael Irvin once said to the media about reporting on one of his moments as a player. Don't lose that intensity. Do not lose that intensity that you feel about Dak right now and the sensitivity and the empathy you feel right now. When any other player says, I'm not coming unless you give me contractual security. I know we're talking about money. We'll never, all of us, most of us, in the sound of my voice are watching me right now on Peacock streaming. We'll never see this type of money. We'll never see it. But they have every right to it because of the business that they've chosen. So don't lose that intensity of empathy right now. When a player tells a team, I'm not coming unless you give me the security I need, because Dak Prescott, I'm loving hearing that everything's fine and dandy with his foot. But this is just day one on a very long journey for him. And I look forward to the day that he can come back like Alex Smith did yesterday. All he has to do for inspiration is just look into vision. And we'll discuss Alex Smith a little bit later on. But you just never know. And I proffer to say the Dak Prescott injury right now will change the way that players view playing on the franchise tender forevermore. I think players across the league are taking note. And I know, again, this is a very elite group. It's a very select company of anybody who gets franchise tagged. But I'm telling you, they're looking at Dak getting carted off and saying, I know he's getting his millions, and that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. But look at what Mahomes got. Dak does not have that for his future right now as he is sitting staring at his surgically repaired, torn up, broken ankle.
Hey, he's just the third quarterback to go into the season playing on the franchise tag. Cousins, of course, and Drew Brees.
Cousins is lucky that he's able to continue on and keep getting that guaranteed money like he's Garrett Cole and not get hurt. And Brees is at the end of his career. But Dak is a totally different story, and I only wish the best for him. I'm feeling for him. I'm thinking of him. I know he's got millions in the bank, and that is great. But he's on a franchise tag tender. And that guy got carted off, and I'd love to see him back. But the Cowboys are still talented enough to win that division.
Still alive.
And this is why they've got Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's won the AFC North with less than what he has at his disposal.
He's thrown for 4,000 yards in this league.
So that's why they've got him. And I know a lot of people like to slag on him, but he's not Dak. And I'm sorry, Cowboys fans. And again, folks out there, think about this very moment the next time some other player decides to get his and withhold his services for it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Mike Florio, let's take a break. And there's a lot of news breaking in the NFL world about what is going on with the schedule. As we got our Monday night game at a Tuesday night, Monday night game at a Tuesday night game this week, and a totally reconfigured schedule. And Matt Rhule, the coach of the 3-2 Carolina Panthers, that's coming up. Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you can watch Thursday Night Football live on Prime Video? That's right. It really is the future of football because you can catch all the action on any device almost anywhere in the world. You can choose your favorite announce team, including Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, or Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah from Move the Sticks, or Chris Long and Carrie Champion from NFL Next. Get next-gen stats, too. Watch in-game replays on demand, all within Prime Video's X-Ray. Next-gen stats are real-time stats powered by AWS. No more waiting around. You can access the current stats anytime. Need to check how your fantasy player is doing? Well, this is the ideal way. Need to check how your fantasy player is doing? Well, this is the ideal way to stay up to speed. In-game on-demand replays are accessible on your remote, on Fire TV, or by turning your mobile device sideways. So if you're a streamer or simply want the most custom way of watching Thursday Night Football, tune in live every Thursday starting October 8th. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to Geico during Geico-ween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geico-ween, everybody. Shop local with Visa to help support your community, because where you shop matters. Visa. Everywhere you want to be. Back here on our Peacock stream, our terrestrial radio audience will be rejoining us in short order. Brockman, this is where we usually use our extra real estate here on Peacock to workshop a poll question to put at Rich Eisen Show. Have you concocted one?
Yeah, sir? It's up. The most impressive Week 5 win. Cowboys, Dolphins, Raiders, Seahawks.
Yeah, again, I know the Cowboys beat a winless Giants team, but the Giants are getting better.
Also, the circumstances. They were down two scores,
and they watched Dak. I know.
You know, Dak get carted off and then come back.
The Miami Dolphins, that wasn't even a game. Literally, it kicked off and it was over. And the number of times that I've been here on the show saying, when are they going to put Tua in? Maybe I'm just going to shut up.
It's Magic had a perfect passer rating in the first half.
Let him keep going. And let Tua heal if he still needs it. And let him sit and learn. I mean, Carson Palmer sat and learned. There used to be a time where kids would just be drafted high up and sit and learn. Steve McNair is another one that leaps to mind. 2 years he sat, right, Steve McNair? So we'll see what happens, man.
Which is what the Chargers wanted for Herbert.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
But he's going to start tonight as the starter for the rest of the year for the first time against former Chargers starter, now Saints GOAT, Drew Brees. That's on Monday Night Football. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll preview that later on. We're back now on our terrestrial radio Rich Eisen Show Network. And joining me right here on the Rich Eisen Show is the man who kicks off the day on Peacock every single day and then wraps it up on NBC Sports on Peacock every day. I said that we were the Florio Burrito, but somebody called in Chris Brockman and called it the...
It's the Florio Flauta.
That's what it is. Okay. With the Dan Patrick Show, this show, and Brother for Another in between. And the man himself, Mike Florio, joining me here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Mike?
So wait, we're the tortilla shell? Is that how that works?
Well, you know what? Whatever, it's delicious.
I think so.
It doesn't matter. It's just delicious. That's all that...
Well, salsa...
It's scrumptious, and it's a delectable treat, is basically what I'm saying. Doesn't matter.
That works.
Let's get into it. There's so much to discuss, and I basically said that it sounds fine about Dak right now, that he's already on the mend. He already had surgery, and there was a top-notch specialist who worked on him. But this guy's on the franchise tag, and I'm wondering if this is going to change the way players view playing on this tag anymore after yesterday, Mike.
Well, look, it's always part of the risk that you take, Rich, when you wait and watch and wonder whether or not you're going to get the long-term deal, when you say no to the deal that's on the table and you decide to push forward, when you are willing to bet on yourself. One of the things you're betting on is that there isn't going to be a catastrophic injury, and Dak's position has always been, I've made plenty of money off the field, and he does make plenty of money off the field. He's got insurance that protects him against a career-ending injury, not that this is career-ending. And he's getting $31.4 million this year no matter what. Where it becomes fascinating, after the season ends and the window opens on another long-term deal between the Cowboys and Prescott, another multi-year deal beyond the four-year deal he did as a rookie, will they sign him to something that covers more than one season? If they don't, by late February, will they apply the franchise tag again? $37.68 million the second time by rule. And if the cap's only $175 next year, that's 21.5% of the cap devoted to a guy that you don't even know is going to be healthy come week one. And if they don't use the tag, and again, they got to make that decision by late February typically, then he becomes a free agent and he hits the market. And I looked at the standings today and I picked out 5-6 teams that will be looking for a quarterback and may be willing to pay Dak Prescott more than what the Cowboys would and take the risk that it's going to take some time for him to be back to 100%. So this is all going to hinge on his health to a certain extent, but if he's not healthy, the Cowboys are going to have to make a very careful decision about how much to invest and how to play this out and whether or not ultimately to use the franchise tag. And Dak's position has always been that this is just business, and he never gives in to whatever the Cowboys wanted to take, and we're going to go through that again, and I think the stakes are going to be higher than ever come February.
Well, walk me through that list, Mike, because, again, I know we're talking about, obviously, next offseason, and there's a playing season that is one of the most unique playing seasons ever, and we'll get to that in a second. But the reason why I want to bring that up, because it does play into the way that that list is created, is affected by wins and losses that are happening right now. And I'm wondering if Atlanta's on that list now that they are clearly going to start from scratch. Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, the coach and general manager, which we haven't discussed because we were focused on the Lakers Sunday night football and this Dak injury in our first segment. They were both fired after an 0-5 start, cemented by, I love him. I love the Mattrell. I love Matt Ryan, you know, but that interception in the end zone that helped seal the fate yesterday of both of these men looked like something that you would call out a rookie for, Mike. I'm wondering what your list looks like.
Well, and Rich, you know how it goes. Every GM wants his own coach. Every coach wants his own quarterback. You can have a new GM and a new head coach. That's the right way to do it. I don't like having the coach and the GM on different tracks. So they get a new GM, a new head coach, and then the question becomes, is Matt Ryan the quarterback that the Falcons need? And if Dak Prescott's available, depending upon who the GM and the coach may be, that's the team that I have on my list. The other teams that I've got scribbled down here, the Jets are a possibility, depending upon whether and to what extent things get blown up in New York and whether or not they want to stick with Sam Darnold. The Broncos, if they decide Drew Lock just isn't the guy and Drew Lock's had a hard time staying healthy. The Jaguars, if things get blown up there. The Colts have Phillip Rivers on a one-year deal, and I'm fascinated by the prospect of Dak Prescott going to Indianapolis. The Lions may be hitting the reset button and moving on from Matthew Stafford. The Giants, if Daniel Jones runs out of time, and wouldn't that be something to have a reunion between Dak and Jason Garrett? Washington, we don't know where they're going now with Dwayne Haskins. The Eagles, if they decide it's the end of the road for Carson Wentz. What about the Saints? If Drew Brees retires and they're not ready to hand the ball to Taysom Hill and they just think he's never going to be the guy. What if The 49ers give up on Jimmy Garoppolo, and it looks like maybe they should after yesterday, although the injury had something to do with his performance. So, you know, every year there's that cluster of teams that, whether it's coaching changes or whether it's just exasperation, they want another quarterback, and Dak is going to get thrown into that mix if the Cowboys don't find a way to keep him around. It's going to make for a fascinating offseason if that ends up being the case, Rich.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you know the way it works. You know, there's two ways it works for a coaching search in the NFL. One is you hire Corn Ferry and you give money to somebody to give you a list that you should pretty much have in the right-hand drawer yourself, you know, some sort of headhunting firm. That to me is I would love to have a business. Like, I'll give you a list for whatever, you know. I mean, the list is life in the NFL, pretty much. You could have it. That's one way to do it. And the other way to do it is to basically have your own way of conducting the search by blowing your coach out because you're afraid everybody else is going to get a head start. So we saw the Texans hired that they hired a headhunter. Who do you have for me for the next team that might say we got to get in on this because two teams now have already gotten a head start on who the next coach is, Mike?
And Rich, I think you're right on the money, because does Arthur Blank, who has been more than patient with Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. Dimitroff was hired in 2008. Does he make this move now if the Texans aren't already out there with Corn Ferry looking under every rock and in every nook and cranny for the right possible candidates to come in and maybe squat on them unofficially before the Falcons have a chance? I mean, look at the Jets. Yeah, look, the worst thing that's happened to the Jets this year is the Panthers, because the Panthers are proving you can rebuild and still live in the house, right? It's not a rebuild, it's a remodel. And that's what the Panthers are doing. They're 3-2. And you know what? They could be 4-1. They gave the Raiders everything they could handle week one, and it's not like the Buccaneers embarrassed them, and they've held their own, and they are improving with what they have, and they've won 3 in a row without Christian McCaffrey, for crying out loud. And I just think that makes it even worse for the Jets. And I don't know how sustainable it is with these embarrassments week after week after week. And the question becomes, is it a reset? Is it new coach and GM? Is it just new coach? If Woody Johnson comes back in the offseason because he's no longer the U.S. ambassador to the U.K., does he just get rid of everybody and start over again and bring back Rex Ryan? I'm only partially kidding when I say that. Wouldn't it be a great story if he did? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? Look at where the Jets have been since Rex was fired. Rex was like glory days compared to where they are right now.
Well, Mike, you know, it depends on what your definition of the word awesome is, to be honest with you. I have a very different definition.
Wait, they got to the AFC Championship game.
No, they did it twice.
Or twice. Was it once?
Right. Then it went downhill then is when he was there when it started going downhill. But to continue connecting some dots to what you just pointed out about how the Panthers make it look worse for the Jets is because they are 3-2, and my first guest in the second hour, and Matt Rhule, was a guy that the Jets were going to hire, but said, we have to tell you who you can hire and not on your staff, because he was too green to figure that out on his own. They were concerned about handing Sam Darnold off to that guy. Instead, they hire Adam Gase. And then the now go-to receiver for the Carolina Panthers is Robbie Anderson, who the Jets let walk. So there's that too, Mike, but don't get me started, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Makes it even harder to keep things going with the New York Jets. And I think that what the Texans did last week really does light the fuse for some of these other teams that are wondering, what in the hell are we going to do? Let's go ahead and get started on it. And, you know, there's that mindset, Rich, that we hear from time to time, that you shouldn't fire guys during the season. It's disrespectful. Remember the Mike McCarthy refrain from a couple of years ago. But I think once you know you're going to do it, I think the respectful thing to do is drop the charade, move on. Don't be searching or trying to unofficially search behind the coach's back or the GM's back. Just rip the Band-Aid off and move on. And I respect a team that does that, because now O'Brien, Quinn, Dimitroff, they all have a chance to use this time to figure out their next career move.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. Pro Football Talk live every single day, starting off NBC Sports on Peacock and PFT PM, ending every single day And then in between, a kind phone call to the Rich Eisen Show. So, Mike, where do things currently stand right now about a possibility of a Week 18 being added to a schedule? The Titans in the Bills game is kind of a fulcrum contest. If it can go off right now, tomorrow night looks like it's going to. Where does everything on this front stand, best you can tell?
It is amazing. As you are articulating the word fulcrum, I was thinking of the word fulcrum. But I also was thinking, don't try to say fulcrum, because if you say it wrong, you're fired. but anyway,
fantastic.
Kudos to you for articulating it properly and preserving your job. You're right. You know, all the moves yesterday that were made, and it was extensive surgery that had to be performed just to bump Broncos-Patriots by a week. Seven games in all affected by that one move. And my understanding is they've got a model on a computer in New York where there's a game they have to postpone, press the button, all the options get spit out of the machine as to what you can do. The problem is once the bye weeks are gone, you can't do anything. Unless you're going to have a team play two games in 1 week, the bye weeks are the key to allowing this rearranging. And we went from a simple rearrangement for Steelers-Titans to a much more complicated rearrangement for Broncos-Patriots. And if Titans-Bills can't be played tomorrow night, that's going to be the first game of this 18th week, whenever it may be. And they're waiting until they absolutely, positively have to before going to an 18th week, because there's a concern people are going to get complacent. Hey, we got an 18th week. You know, if we miss a game, so what? No big deal. We get a second bye. We'll play an extra game later in the year. It's not that easy, because all it takes is one team, Rich, to have two games affected. And then a week 18 doesn't work. You need a week 19. And I think that they're holding week 18 in one back pocket, and then like week 19 is like the gun strapped to your lower leg that you only go to in the absolute, you know, gravest of emergency. And so that's, I think, an 18 and a 19 are floating around out there. And then the question is, when do you play them? I was on with Mad Dog last week, and he said something that upset me because I wished I'd have thought of it.
Yes.
You just take week 17 and you make it week 18. And then you backfill week 17 with your extra games, so you don't have the one seed possibly being 3 weeks between games, which makes a ton of sense. And then that week 17, which becomes week 18, is still that 16-game crescendo with all games played in one day, and we get everything figured out. So I feel like that's going to happen. It's after only 5 weeks, we are where we are. There's no way there's not going to be an 18.
So let me just pull on that strand here. It's concerning to me because we're inside the brain of our friend Christopher Crusoe. So if you take week 17 and make it week 18, then thus week 17 is the makeup date for a whole bunch of teams. Wouldn't that give a bye week to a whole bunch of other teams for week 18 that they could absolutely utilize to their benefit when they're sitting back and seeing if a week 17 game clinches a spot for them in week 18, and then they don't have to play anybody, and then they sit back and have two bye weeks for somebody prior to, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many unintended consequences just off the top of my head that would make that an issue. But, you know, the bottom
you're right,
line
is, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know,
but this is reality. If the goal is to get in the 256 games, it's just a question of which unintended consequence
right.
do we embrace and say we do what we have to do in order to play all the games.
Exactly. Because, again, that's the point here, is that, you know, nothing is normal anymore. Maybe for a very, very long time in our lives. And the way that we're looking at this, I mean, the NBA just finished up, for crying out loud, on October 11th, you know, and then they may not play and start a regular season in the manner in which we're used to it for another 2 years, you know. And then the NFL, forget a combine draft. I can't even imagine what the hell that's going on right now. So I guess anything goes. What about the idea of just hitting a pause button on the entire season to make sure that everybody gets back to the spot that we enjoyed for the first 3 weeks of this campaign?
You know, we were talking about that yesterday during our just planning sessions for last night's Football Night in America. And the problem with pressing the pause button, what do you do with the players while you're on pause? How do you keep them in football shape if all the facilities are shut down for 2 weeks? And how do you prevent Tom Brady from taking a group of teammates to a high school field in Tampa and doing what the Titans did, doing what Brady did throughout the offseason, even after the NFL Players Association strongly encouraged all players to stop it until training camp opens. So I don't know that the pause is the issue. I continue to be a firm believer in the home market bubble because the NFL's current protocol is premised on accepting, Rich, the idea that people are going to catch it in the community, and our goal is to intercept those folks by having them test positive and ensure that until you get the positive result, we're practicing the kind of procedures in the building that keep it from spreading. If you do a home market bubble, and if you can pull off a home market bubble, and everyone's staying in a hotel, and this would require negotiations between the league and the union, that's one of the reasons why I think it hasn't happened, because the NFL doesn't want to make a concession to the union, and the union doesn't want to agree to an unprecedented restriction on the ability of these guys to live their lives and be with their families and live in a hotel for 3 months. But I think that's the only way that you fix it. And I had a GM point out to me yesterday that here's what's going to have to happen. Players are going to have to start losing game checks by games that are postponed or canceled and can't be made up. And once that starts to occur, then that's when they'll say, let's just go stay in a hotel for the rest of the year because we're losing real money with these games going away. And unfortunately, it's going to take that before it happens because it's something they should all just agree to and do now to avoid games being lost. But that's the thought. Games are going to have to be lost before the players and the league decide to work out some kind of a deal to put everyone in a hotel for the rest of the season.
Before we send Mike Florio into the rest of his day to prepare for PFT PM to wrap up the day here on NBC Sports on Peacock, ask him the poll question, Christopher, that you can vote on at Rich Eisen Show right now yourselves.
Yeah, Mike, what was the most impressive win from yesterday? Cowboys, Dolphins, Raiders, Seahawks?
Yeah, I think it was the Raiders because the Chiefs have had that air of invincibility around them. They haven't lost a game since last November. To go into Kansas City, to have a plan on defense, and I talked to Jeff Heath, who had an interception yesterday at Patrick Mahomes, about what they did. I mean, they accept they're going to have to deal with longer plays. They're going to have to cover their guys a little bit longer. And you do just have to realize, and I say this all the time, the Chiefs are like a basketball team that's going to go on an 18-2 run. Just deal with that. You know what's going to happen. The rest of the game, you try to overcome that. And that's what the Raiders did. And Derek Carr, exasperated at times by his refusal to throw the ball down the field when the shots are there. He threw it down the field yesterday. And if they can contain that, they have this week off, and then they've got the Buccaneers and Tom Brady coming to town. If he will keep doing that, that could be the thing that really gives the Raiders a chance to contend with and maybe compete with the Chiefs in that division, which would be something if they could pull it off.
All right, Mike, who's on PFT PM? Is there anything you want to promote to keep everybody having their wet their beak a little bit for what's on the back
Mondays,
end of the day?
Mondays are a big, big day where we look back on everything that went right, everything that went wrong. Shereen Williams joins me, and that 1 hour just flies by. Hopefully it flies by for the folks who are watching, but it definitely flies by for us, and we're looking forward to getting ready, everybody, for Monday night, the Saints Chargers, and also looking back on everything that happened throughout the course of the day. So, yeah, that's coming. It's coming. I still would prefer to just do 3 hours at once, but I kind of like having that 1 hour at the end of the day because there have been a lot of days in recent weeks where that extra hour comes in handy because a lot of things happen between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Well, my problem is that it's always 5 o'clock somewhere for me during this pandemic. and so you're on at 5 Eastern. So best of luck to you on that, sir. And excellent work as always. And love being part of this lineup that you start and finish every single day. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, great talking to you, Rich. Thanks.
Right back at you. That's Mike Florio. Check out PFT PM later right here on NBC Sports on Peacock at 5 Eastern time. I know the feeling about how time flies for an hour, right? Boom, right. See ya. I mean, and then there's tomorrow night's game, Bills-Titans, which is huge.
Just tomorrow, that's crazy.
You know, okay, so let's take a break because he said something about the Raiders and what they did to Mahomes that I think the copycat league, we might have a little bit of a blueprint here for the Chiefs and the person who created it. And then Kobe Bryant, we chatted with him, may he rest in peace, a couple of Augusts ago about LeBron's expectations here in L.A. We'll play that back the night after LeBron wins one for L.A. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Matt Rhule is going to join us at the top of hour number two. The Carolina Panthers will end tonight in first place in the NFC South, either in a flat-up tie or a three-way tie. They can do no worse. And I don't know if anybody could have thought that possible when they were 0-2 after losing Christian McCaffrey to a high ankle injury.
Oh, man.
But they've won all three without Christian McCaffrey. They're 3-2, tied with the Bucs, and they could be tied with the Saints by the end of the night, or a game in front of the Saints. If the Los Angeles Chargers can pull it off with Leaves and Greasy and Lewis Riddick with the call tonight on our friends at ESPN. So we'll be talking with Matt Rhule. Great analogy from Mike Florio right there, that you can live in the house while you rebuild it. Good stuff from Florio right there. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show all together with our terrestrial radio audience rejoining us here. And the Los Angeles Rams... Ooh. With a big win yesterday, man. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later on through the prism of Alex Smith in your news update, Christopher.
Indeed.
Okay. And the Seahawks staying undefeated in that division. A big win by Arizona against my Jets. DeAndre Hopkins coming alive in the fourth quarter of that game.
Big game.
The 49ers, man.
That's a head scratch.
That
dude.
One was a wrap.
I don't know
the
what's going
minute
on with them.
It kicked off. The Dolphins got Jimmy G 3 and out, and Ryan Fitzpatrick marched right
just
down the field.
Boom,
boom.
Then Jimmy G went 7 and out, turnover on downs, and the Dolphins went straight down the field. This kid, Miles Gaskin, looks like a keeper.
Yep.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick is a delight to watch. His enthusiasm, his energy, his arm, his head, his gumption. He's living on a razor's edge. But the Dolphins have some players. They've got some skilled position players. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is I know the Dolphins are 2-3. I'll tell you this. I know Jimmy G had an ankle injury, and they pulled him to protect his high ankle sprain that he clearly wasn't ready to come back from. But all that together, they didn't let their foot off the gas pedal, the Miami Dolphins, putting a 40-burger on the defending NFC champs, who are, yes, banged up. But no, Jimmy G was back, handing off to Raheem Mostert, and looked down the field and had an option from Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk, and Kendrick Bourne. That's the way they're dialing it up this year. That's the way that the 49ers wanted to run on offense this year, with Trent Williams blocking. And the Dolphins punked him, put the bang thing on him. But that's still not the most impressive win of the weekend, because the Chiefs are, as Florio said, had that era of invincibility. We had a conversation on NFL Game Day morning, which is great to have all four guys, all four of us back
together.
Yeah,
that was great to see, man.
But then, thank you. The question was, do the Chiefs have a weakness? And it was just like, yeah, maybe the run defense is a weakness. Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, thanks.
The Raiders used a blueprint that Belichick used on one week ago tonight. Rush 3.
16-0, man.
Rush 3.
I need more.
Rush 3. Rush 3 and let Mahomes run around. As you heard, Flores said he spoke to Jeff Heath. They knew that would leave them sort of white knuckling on the back end of that defense when Mahomes is extending the play extra couple of seconds. Right. You're asking for a side eye pass that you're not see that you don't see coming,
or even just a holding on third down or
something.
Yeah,
but they pulled it off, and they put a 40 burger on. And I said this a couple weeks ago when they beat the Saints. If Derek Carr, I know he threw an interception, but if Derek Carr can be decisive, and Ruggs is showing up to take the top of the defense off when he's healthy, and Darren Waller is a problem of the first magnitude in the NFL, and they've got a supremely talented player in Max Crosby rushing the passer, and Jonathan Abram on the back end lowering the boom, and Darren Waller at the tight end position, and Josh Jacobs, he arrives with intent. And the only guy I can compare him to in the NFL is Ezekiel Elliott. I told you that when I saw him running last year. I'm like, he reminds me of Zeke, where he finds the seam.
Violent, man.
And he can catch out of the backfield, but he arrives with intent. Those extra yards is what helped seal the game yesterday when they're trying to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. And if Derek Carr can be decisive and make plays down the field and not make mistakes, this is a problem team. And we saw it yesterday with the Raiders winning in Kansas City.
I'm still shocked.
Very impressive win. I know you don't like me putting my finger on the, that's my okay. thumb no, on the scale, I figured but that I would was vote for the Raiders.
Away. Yeah, I figured that was going to run away.
As did Florio as well.
I mean, that's at 56% right now, which I understand.
I mean, those are some other very impressive wins there. Dallas,
for sure.
Dallas winning when they lose Dak and they see him. You see your team leader carted off in tears with that horribly angled foot. And I don't care if the Giants haven't won yet.
Yeah.
That's a well-coached team, the Giants. And they've got Evan Engram, and the defense has got problems. But, okay, they came up with that win. Next week, home for the Cardinals. Here comes Kyler Murray and the star. That'll be fun to watch, bro.
I also thought the Browns had an impressive win yesterday. I mean, pick 'em game. Colts are tough. Good defense come in.
Yeah.
Cleveland hasn't won 4 in a row in over 10 years.
That's right.
And they got the job done.
They sure did. They're 4-1. We'll hit the Browns a little bit more later on. But I do want to just take a moment. And I know, again, there's so much Laker hate in this country and certainly in this town from a lot of Clipper fans and all that, because the Laker fans are really going back to the Clippers, all that sort of stuff. But I just do want to point out that LeBron came here 2 summers ago. A lot of people were like, oh, he's coming here for movies. He's coming here for TV. Didn't we have Maverick Carter months before LeBron made that decision?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, a lot of people think he's coming here so he could make TV shows and he could make movies. And didn't he say that LeBron can have a meeting anywhere, Rich? He kind of looked me in the face and said, LeBron is LeBron James. People will meet with him wherever he is.
Before Zoom, he was like, we'll FaceTime.
Yeah, that's right. You know? This is pre-Zoom.
Pre-Zoom.
Right. Right. Well, he had a plan. Sure didn't look like he had one last year, but he had a plan. Might have been Anthony Davis. You tell everybody in New Orleans you don't want to go anymore. You sign with Clutch Sports. Let's get us together. And hey, you, Rob Pelinka, you can do this. You can do that. Make me happy. Say what you will. He got it done. And when he says that he feels the pressure, I think he feels the pressure. And part of the reason why is everybody knew, yeah, you come here. Cleveland's one thing. Winning for your hometown's one thing. Miami's another thing because you left Cleveland. You got to win there. With you got your window of opportunity with two other guys. You're coming here to Los Angeles Lakers. You best win. Certainly when there's Kobe Bryant sitting in the town. As he was, God bless him. May he rest in peace. You know, at the time that LeBron arrived, he was here. I went down to go visit him in advance of, you know, 8/24 in 2018. And asked him LeBron's expectations. So when you hear LeBron say that he felt pressure, and he used it, take a listen.
What do you think he needs to accomplish here in order to be viewed in a similar vein as, say, you as a Laker, Kobe?
Well, I don't know. Making the comparisons of him being viewed in a similar vein as me, I mean, that doesn't make much sense, right? I mean, I think the goal is always to win championships. No matter where you go, that's the goal. And that's his goal. That's Rob's goal. That's Magic's goal. That's Jeannie's goal. Rondo, all the guys.
So he needs to win a championship here in LA?
Why do people always say that? They say, okay, well, you need to win. And then there's this like crowd of people that are like, well, you don't need to win a champion. Well, you're asking me, you have to win championships. This is why we play. This is why we're here, is to win championships. And, you know, he wouldn't have came here if he didn't expect to win championships.
Man, it's good to see Kobe.
It is, there. And I can't believe he's no longer with us. And I hear that. It's just, but that was also interviewing Kobe. He's like, why do you need to say need to win championships? And then what at the end of my sentence?
He needs to win.
Yeah, man. He comes to Los Angeles. And when there were fans in the stands and they were playing in Staples, look at all those banners that up there. There were two retired numbers for that guy alone. And he's got one. Like that cigar up, you bet, LeBron. Congratulations. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Your phone calls. An interesting conundrum, I think, out there for fans of football. We'll talk about that. Matt Rhule of the Carolina Panthers coming up.